brings diehard sports fans together as one big family through tailgate and road trips. Now the guys from Green Legion are bringing the tailgate to the airwaves. Quimby, Hollis Tank Thomas, Michael Diaz, and Chris Sack always keep the party going, so crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
I hate every single one of you already today. You especially, Zach.
Wow.
Everybody, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, Philadelphia, brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. My name is Quimby, and I'm on a tear already this morning. Nobody is safe. Sam's not safe. Slash isn't safe. But I am amongst an especially excellent broadcast staff today with a special guest. This is our famous first annual Eagles Draft Edition Analysis Program. I don't know if I said all that right.
It sounds about right.
I'm trying.
But you hate me, so I'm just going to go the opposite way.
Yeah, well, you just... Hey, listen, big time. It's okay. We're sorry that you had to work 2 hours of overtime today. I know. You know, too much to do back at home. Anyway, special edition draft analysis for the full weekend of coverage, what took place, what the Eagles did right, what the Eagles did wrong. Did I say wrong? Wrong.
A lot.
Wrong. All the tweeners. Nothing better than a tweener. We're going to be using that word a lot today, but I am amongst a distinguished panel of hosts today. Of course, you just heard him coming off of baseball brunch, Bud Light baseball brunch, my good friend Chris Sack. Sackmaster, Sack Attack, Reggie. Wah! Next to him, we will skip because he's our famous guest. And our absolute famous guest, who's always with me, number 78 in your program, number one in your heart, 10-year NFL veteran with the Philadelphia Eagles, 15 years in the league total, our good friend Hollis Tank Thomas. What's up, big dog?
Yeah, chilling. How you guys feeling this morning?
We're
this
good.
Morning slash afternoon.
We're good. We're good. We're going to have to figure out how to get that microphone a little closer to you because...
You don't like me leaning in?
I don't know. The table is going to... I don't care. The table might hurt.
I'm not leaning on the table. You got to realize I'm a big dog. There's things you do as a big dog where you go... You always shock check the chairs and the table.
Shock check.
You shock check. You know what shock check means? It means
I do. You got to sit down and make sure it'll take all your weight.
See, you're going too far. It's sitting all the way down. You put a little weight on it to see if there's any give or any noises. Yeah, a bunch of
couple big dogs in the room.
Yeah, or a hand to see if there are any creaky noises that this sucker's going to shatter when you put all of your weight on it.
And thank you for
that.
Is this
table analysis or Eagles draft analysis?
It's a little bit of both.
You know what? The table analysis might be more fun.
I agree.
And our special guest today from Crossing Broad and the one who had to constantly reaffirm that Green Legion Radio is an Eagles media outlet in the city. Hello, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler. Nobody figured that one out, but we appreciate him coming in all the way from my hometown area. Mr. Kevin Kincaid, how are you, sir?
What's good, guys? Thanks for having me. No, this is great. I got to say, Quimby, I show up and Quimby hands me like a 10-page rundown sheet here. And Hollis would tell you, I worked at Eyewitness News for 7 years. I don't think we had anything this
not even close.
Complex. Or,
that's what we like to call the Bible, Kev.
Yeah, there we go. No, I love it. For a former television producer, this is wonderful. And listen, let's get this out of the way real quick. People were coming at me and saying, was the Green Legion cheating in the Crossing Broad Philadelphia Eagles media field of 64 competition? I said, I don't know. I got no way to prove who's stacking votes, who's not. I don't know if Russia's involved. Did you guys have Russian collusion to add votes?
Actually, this is a very, very funny element you bring up.
Yeah.
No kidding. And I almost did my first one, Jansen. So, again, keep your finger on that dump button.
Oh, God.
My brother. Is that our dump button? The gobbler? That's awesome. It is.
Oh, God. Yes.
My brother-in-law met my sister at the Language Institute in Monterey when they were both in the Army. And my brother-in-law is not allowed in Russia anymore.
Okay, so there can't be any Russian collusion. Yeah,
there is
okay.
not.
There was no voting irregularities.
Zero.
There were no hanging chads.
Yes, no.
None of that.
I told you my cheat.
Yeah.
I voted three times from my phone.
Yeah.
I voted three times from this laptop. I voted three times from another laptop that broke since then. And I had a burner phone that I had sitting in the closet, and I voted three times from that, so there you go.
And we'll allow it, and that's fine, and congratulations to the Legion on winning the inaugural Philadelphia Eagles Media Field in 64 bag. Congratulations.
And thank you for running it, because in all fairness, it was a lot of fun.
It was supposed to be fun. That's the whole point. You know, everybody's like, well, I can't believe this guy won and this guy did. I'm like, well, it's just, I think we're taking a little bit too seriously here, so everybody just have some fun. We're going to highlight, you know, media outlets who are doing some great work in the city, and the winner is the winner. So what? And if you don't like it, vote differently next year.
And you know what? In all fairness, the path that we took to get there, I mean,
it was a gauntlet.
It was a true underdog story. Yeah, it was like a Jim Boeheim number 11 kind of Syracuse kind of route.
Not only that, that's a great analogy, brother.
It's like when you don't expect them to be in the tournament, that's when they win like four in a row.
Unfortunately,
right?
I don't have a son playing for me right now.
Oh, yeah. Or like a goofy white guard who shoots like 60% from three against your team when we're in.
Right. Yeah, that's his son.
And everybody that we went up against except Kaplan, everybody here loves and respects. And it's not that we don't love and respect Kaplan. I just think some people on the panel have a different opinion of him. But that's okay.
it's all love, man. That's all it was supposed to be. It's like a fun little goofy thing. Everybody and their mom does a bracket every March anyway. So, hey, let's do Philadelphia Eagles Media. You guys won. Congratulations. We investigated and we did not find any voting irregularities. So the results stand.
And Kev, if you've met Diaz, you know that we don't, you know, Diaz and... He doesn't have a lot of friends, so we really couldn't piggyback a lot off of him.
Yeah, where are you going to find the extra votes?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Diaz was pretty useless in all of that.
That's right. Beyond that, I do like 8 stories a day. If anybody thought that I had the time to like really truly investigate whether anybody was cheating, I put maybe like 30 seconds into looking at the results to see if there's
any
regular.
Hold on a second. You look at your phone. Okay, good.
Yeah, I think they're good. Yeah, they're all good. So.
But and also, in all fairness, everybody that we went up against, Ike, mad respect for Ike. Love Jimmy Kempsky's work. Derek Gunn has been a friend of the program.
No, you know, the funny thing about doing it was is because people were coming to me, they're like, how did you end up with 64 people in the first place? Are there really like 64 Philadelphia media outlets out there?
Probably, there's a hell of a lot more than that.
Probably more. But
you weren't including a lot of podcasts.
Yeah. No, and you could have gone deep into all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I was just like, I got to like maybe 40 people, and I'm like, wow, all these people are doing great work. Like, there's a lot of people who are dedicated to this team, who are devoted, who do a lot of really, really good stuff. And, I hope that was the takeaway, that people just looked at the thing and were like, wow, we got a really, really good group of media and podcasts and people doing independent stuff, people with the TV station. So hopefully that was their takeaway instead of saying, well, did the Green Legion go to Vladimir Putin and ask for help?
Actually, we did. We did have people in London and Poland who follow me on Twitter. Uh-huh. Thank you, guys.
Yep. That's all right. You know, it was not exclusive. You did not need to be an American citizen. You did not need to show an ID card. You didn't need to do like any of that kind of stuff to vote. So it was open to whoever.
But some of them are from Philly, so they're just working.
All right, well, that's fine, too. Yeah, we found no irregularities, so
the only group that was not on there that should have been is Crossing Broad, because, in all fairness, that's one of our favorite.
Oh, well, thank you. I can't put myself on the ballot, right?
So that would be cheating.
And then if I ended up doing poorly, I would just delete
it. What does that say?
What if I lost in the first round? That'd be pretty sad in my own poll.
I can't hear you with a headset on. Sam, what do you got? Why don't you hand that to Slash? And he pops on his microphone. All right, let's see. No YouTube, no FB sound. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Great. So check the connections there, but tell everybody to go to iHeartRadio.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. iHeartRadio app. Or foxphlgambler.iheart.com.
Or just tune into 102.5, damn it. Or if you're in Trenton, 104.1.
So many options.
Or WDAS throughout the rest of the valley. Delaware Valley, 1480 AM. Anyway, we're getting a little off track here, Kevin. We appreciate you coming
in. No problem. I appreciate
it. And we appreciate you including us in this.
No, awesome. Excellent. Yeah.
There was nothing better than seeing the Green Legion logo in the middle of that bracket.
Yeah, my brilliant photoshopping skills.
It was awesome.
I just put it right on the mat. Yeah,
trust me. When I asked you guys about your Twitter and Instagram following, and when it comes to Green Legion, I go, and follow the Green Legion by asking Diaz. So don't worry. Everybody, make sure you rate, review, download, subscribe to Green Legion Radio on iTunes and Google Play. But again, the easiest thing you can do is just download the iHeartRadio app. You can listen to all 4 programs, Green Legion Radio, Bud Light Baseball Brunch, Get Tanked Happy Hour with Tank and Quimby, and of course, Ice to Shorts Winter Sports with Zach and Diaz, which airs every other Tuesday from 8 to 9-ish. Get Tanked Happy Hour is every Monday, and we get drunk every Monday. So Get Tanked Happy Hour is every Monday, starting at 6 o'clock. I'll be in Vegas tomorrow, but we'll be doing the show.
Okay, cool.
Again.
You guys are acting like getting drunk on Mondays is exclusively just for Monday.
Well, listen, I don't like amateur hour. Friday and Saturdays are amateur hour. The true alcoholics drink Sunday day and Monday evening.
There you go.
And if you're not part of that, then you just want to be. And if you don't like Justin Timberlake, you can lie to yourself all you want. Don't lie to me. All right?
Oh, God.
Everybody, Green Legion Radio is brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, Stateside Vodka, and Stateside Bourbon. That is premium vodka and bourbon distilled right here in historic Fishtown. MCS Construction Services is the largest residential contractor in the Philadelphia area. The Next Sip, nextsip.com. COVID accepted, hands-free drinking. You can drink while you text. It's just a little thing you wrap around your neck. It's great. All the Cavanaugh's restaurants, Cavanaugh's Riverdeck, Cavanaugh's Head House, Cavanaugh's Rittenhouse, Cavanaugh's University City. Of course, our beautiful ladies over at Delilah's, all trying to make it through med school and law school. Make sure you go over there and support them. All City Fitness Philadelphia locations, graduate. Kevin's just giving a little.
I ain't passing any judgment on anybody. I'm from Boyertown. I can't pass judgment.
I'm from Pottstown, man. We're in the same boat. Don't worry. Everybody, all the City Fitness Philadelphia locations, Graduate Hospital, Logan Square, East Market, Fishtown, and, of course, Northern Liberties. And, of course, if you're not in the city and you want to stay healthy, our good friends over at Echelon Health and Fitness. Jeff Quinn is supposed to be here, but, of course, he is late. Good friends at Bucks County Baseball Company. The website is bigger than the showroom, BucksCountyBaseballCO.com. And, of course, our fraternity brothers, my fraternity brothers, over at the new King of Prussia Diner opening up June 1st. There are going to be some employment opportunities there, everybody, so I'll make sure I get the word out for that. You guys, we're going to forego Hollis history and sports history because we did that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
However, before we get into draft analysis, we're going to start a segment. Kevin, this is called
Kickass or Jackass.
I love it. Can't wait.
Mm-hmm. All right. Real simple. We don't want to get in too much detail except when we get into the last one, but it's just the four of us, so we're going to go right down the road. Tank, Kevin, Sack, and then maybe you're going to tell, by the way, I say whether or not I think it's Kickass or Jackass. You just tell us whether or not you think. All right, I don't know if you watched it, but first one. The Washington football team fan pulling his best Michael Buffer while making the 124th selection. Did you see that, Cat?
Yeah, I seen it.
I thought it was complete. It's the former Skins. I thought it was hysterical, yeah. Total kick-ass. This guy walks out, all right? He's got his cell phone on. He's doing a video. He is literally shimmying and dancing like Fred Astaire on his way out. Eisen goes, dude, watch out for that corner. If you fall, you'll never hear the end of it on YouTube. It'll go viral. And he just steps over the edge and makes it and then gets to the podium and goes, for the millions in attendance, or for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching all over. He did a completely excellent Buffer. Awesome. I thought it was complete kick-ass.
Complete kick-ass.
Kevin, did you see it?
I did not. I was focused on the Giants fan with the southern accent who couldn't get over the fact that he was wearing sunglasses indoors. I was so distracted by that thing.
Well, then that'll be the next one. So I go kick-ass and jackass.
Yeah, there you go.
Anything Michael Buffer related is kick-ass. It's hilarious.
Attaboy. All right. Marianne Sladzinski, Eagles fan of the year. Kick-ass or jackass?
Jackass.
Hold on. We'll get to Sam on that one in a minute. Kevin Kincaid.
Fine with me. I don't know. I don't know anything about her.
this was on video. This was on video. Yesterday's draft.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
This is live coverage.
I think I did 2 12-hour shifts on Thursday and Friday and then passed out on Saturday. So that was my day. And then I recovered on Sunday and watched the rest of it. So.
I'm speaking on behalf of Sam Ross. Jackass.
She's never been on an Eagles road trip with us. Jackass. Sorry, Marianne. Barstool Sports using my logo for a shirt representing the Slim Reaper.
Oh, wow. Man, that is jackass.
Yeah, jackass.
Yeah, I mean, I love the nickname for Devontae Smith, but it's jackass for sure.
It's all right. Mr. Portnoy and I are going to have a conversation soon enough. I'm not gonna be Michael Rapaport to him. Trust me, I'm gonna make sure I stay away from that. But all right, Irsay's wife in the Kentucky Derby hooker hat making the 127th selection.
Jesus God.
That was kick ass. I couldn't stop cracking up at that one.
Kick ass, man. I love it. Be yourself.
I'm going to say jackass because Tom Brady wore the crap out of that hat that he had on the other day. He looked like he was going to kill Roger Rabbit and the Toon Squad.
It was total jackass. She was such a stiff during that entire thing. Only 2 minutes left? God, already. All right. The Eagles letting Jabril Cox slip to the Cowboys.
Jackass.
What? Were you worried about two cocks on the field at the same time?
Yeah, there you go.
No, you can't pull that one. Jansen, I didn't hear a gobbler. We're good there. The headset. This was great. Rich Eisen, by the way, is a complete stud. The headset on the Eagles kid live on the NFL Network when the announcers said, you're going to need that for later in life too, kid. For all the Eagles cussing everywhere.
God, man. That was mean. That was kick-ass.
It was kick-ass.
I guess it was kick-ass. Playing up the cliches, but yeah. Whatever, you know.
Yeah, I mean, kick-ass. He's not lying.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, here we go. Final kick-ass or jackass before we take a break. Come back with true draft coverage. The happiest player in the draft, Justin Fields.
Jackass. He wasn't happy.
Jackass.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's coming from Ohio State where you historically suck as a quarterback and then in the NFL, and then you're going to where you historically suck as a professional quarterback. Jackass.
Let me tell you how much of a jackass that actually was. Ready? Break this down. Cowboys weren't interested in you at 12. Chargers weren't interested in you at 13. Jets weren't interested in you at 14 when they trumped and went right ahead of the Patriots. Mac Jones was going to the Pats, more than likely.
Absolutely.
Over Justin Fields.
I agree.
Cardinals were definitely not interested in you at 16. Raiders weren't heading that direction. Could have been at 17, maybe. Dolphins, no, at 18. Washington, maybe at 19. All right, your starting quarterback is the beard. All right. So, what's the difference, Justin? Before you bitch and moan, before you get up and don't go, and you hug your family with one arm, like you know, the rest is recovering from a stroke.
Yeah, it was right? Pretty bad.
The difference between you being selected at 11 and you being selected at 19 is 5.1 million dollars. Jack ass. Yep.
Also the opportunity to play in the NFL. Not a lot of people get to do it, so take it however you can get it.
Even if New England selected him over Mac Jones at 15, it's a difference of $3.3 million. Quit being a bitch. Be happy that you haven't promised the world. If you haven't promised the world to your crew and you're smart with your money, you'll be able to take care of your family for the rest of your life. That's what we have right now. Jansen, where do we go from here? Are we waiting for you to tell me that we go to break? What's up? I don't even know.
Oh, just this keep is going? Your show, baby. You can do whatever you like.
I don't know. I don't want to get into anything else. I think we should take a break right now because we're going to start everything clean and slate-free when we come back on break here. But coming up, topics. Elephant in the room. The Eagles botching yet another day two on the draft. I think day three was actually a lot better for them, even though we still have a lot of tweeners in there. We're also going to talk about an actual prophecy. We have all wondered why Howie Roseman has a job. What photos does he possess? What kind of dirt does he have proof of? But I don't think that's the case. In all fairness, I actually think he is the fall guy. I think he is being paid to be Jeffrey Lurie's fall guy. And now that we know that Lurie is a meddling owner, I think we ought to look at those draft day coverages in the war room and see if Jeffrey gets to his phone and sends a text message real fast and how he actually looks at it. And right before Howie's about to make the pick he wants to make, You see him change his mind. So I am very interested in talking about that, especially with the article that came out of The Athletic a few weeks ago. Bullwolf, Zach Berman, and Shadi...
Chilkapadia.
Yeah, thank you. Kevin, already
That's what I'm here for. There you, yeah. If I can contribute anything.
Bullwolf, by the way, and in week and in day two, Bullwolf said it best on Twitter. When you have an O-line coach with a proven history of developing day three players, you simply can't pass up on the opportunity to stay at 37 and draft a guy with three separate season-ending injuries.
Oh, God.
Way to go, Bo. That's just awesome. Awesome. Anyway, Jansen, are we ready for a break here?
Go for it. Take us home.
All right, you guys, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler here in Philadelphia, brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. We'll be back right after this. All right, everybody, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, brought to you by Bud Light, live here at Philly Live Casino, everybody. And we're talking about the Eagles draft. We're also talking about a bunch of other things and being a little bit silly because that's pretty much what we do on this show.
Accurate.
However, we always start off our show with the elephant in the room. That's the topic right now. And the elephant in the room right now is the Eagles botching yet another draft. Okay, so let's break this down. We're going to get into individual player analysis here soon enough. However, conceptually, let's talk about this draft for a little bit. And this is where I want to bitch and moan, because I like to bitch and moan. Everybody knows it.
It's what you're best at.
Listen. You got to stick with what you're good at, right?
You are one of the top complainers I know.
Good.
I'm pissed off.
Good to hear. And I don't know what's going on there. But it's feedbacking right now. So, the elephant in the room, I'm okay with Devontae Smith. Or Devontae Davis, if you're Mike Cole.
Yeah, Devontae Davis.
Oh, yeah, no.
Which is fantastic.
The Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah. What just happened?
I don't know.
I think that was Conor McGregor. That was a drop.
Yeah, we got a drop in there.
That's awesome. All right. I love what the Eagles did on day one. All right. They got the guy that they had to admit defeat on Jalen Reagor already because they just don't know. However, there's nothing better than punching it in the Giants' culo three times in less than 4 months. All right. You kick them out of the playoffs. You make them think that you actually are going to draft lower than them by one pick, so they get to take the player that you want. And then, then you jump them again.
Can we address that real quick, by
Please.
The way? Okay, the Philadelphia Eagles, bottom line, don't end up with the Heisman Trophy winner and an extra first-round pick in 2022 if they don't tank that game. So that's the bottom line. We can sit here and say losing that game on purpose is bad. You can say that you don't like the way that they approached it with Jalen Hurts, and they should have disguised it more for sure.
That's all.
Exactly.
Right. You know, it's a difference between the Philadelphia 76ers tank and what the Oklahoma City Thunder are doing right now.
Exactly. Yeah. And to piggyback off what he was just saying, the funniest thing in that whole thing was the fact that the Giants got on TV and tried to reprimand us about doing something with our team. That was the funniest part to me. The funniest part to me was their head coach getting on team talking about that Bush League stuff.
Joe Judge, who represents the great town of Lansdale, by the way, where I live now, embarrassed Lansdale when he went and said, he gave this rah-rah, you know, I'm the leader of men kind of integrity speech. Yeah. Dude, nobody can be upset.
Didn't he work for the Patriots?
Nobody, here's the bottom line, nobody can be upset with the Philadelphia Eagles doing what's best for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Thank you.
What are they going to do, the best for the Giants and the integrity of the game? No.
I completely agree, but I also agree with you at the same point that said they should have disguised it.
They could have done it better. They could have made it more palatable, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
Because we almost got fined.
Well, and a fine in that respect would have been a draft pick.
Exactly.
Not that it would matter.
Now, if they sat there, if they ended up with the ninth pick and they just sat there, maybe and Devontae Smith was there, fine, but you don't end up with the extra draft pick. So nobody in retrospect can go back and say, They didn't come out on top of that situation.
Yeah, excellent. Now, does Devontae need to put on a little bit of weight? I hope he does. He's a kid, but then he's not as fast. You know, he's got a wingspan like a condor. He's got mitts like Tank, which is really scary, everybody.
Sometimes when you put on extra weight when you're a guy that size, too,
you're going to slow you down.
It's not just that. It's just your body's not used to carrying that much weight, which is going to lead you to hamstring injuries, calf injuries.
Knee injuries.
Let him be who he is.
Yeah, I get you.
He's got long arms, too. Yeah. And if you look at any pictures of him, he's already really muscular.
Yeah.
You know, he's ripped up. Now, when you're taller and you have a frame that's a little bit thinner, when you add weight, it distributes a little bit differently. You know what I mean? So it's not he's not short and stout. The people are making the Deshaun comparisons. Deshaun was 5'9" coming out of college.
Correct.
Right? So you put an extra 15 pounds on a 5'9" guy versus a guy who's 6'1". It's gonna look different on how it's dispersed through his body. You know?
I like what you're saying here, and hopefully they'll be taking submissions for medical. Evaluating talent.
Dr. Kevin Kincaid right here.
Please. Please. Because right now everybody answers two.
Oh, God.
No, but listen, here's the thing. When you talk about, okay, well, what is a lack of weight? Okay, does he have problem getting off at the line of scrimmage? The film didn't say that.
Nope.
You know, does he have problems going up and battling big cornerbacks for the ball? No.
He can play in the red zone, too.
He can play in the red zone.
Deshaun disappeared in the red zone. You couldn't put him down.
No, he goes up and makes these... a 40-inch vertical or something ridiculous 40, like that?
He goes up and makes these ridiculous contested catches. He doesn't play like his size. But the real question you could ask then, okay, if you're playing at one, he's probably going to play at 175-ish.
165, tops 166.
He's going.
He could come to camp at 175.
Yeah.
But by the time camp is over, he's going to be 160-something because he made the statement about Hugh gaining weight. By the time camp was over, he was 260.
He went from 275
back down to about 260. It's entirely hard, except for me, to keep weight on during training camp.
Well, it's a durability thing, is it not? Because, you know, if somebody like that takes a real NFL hit, you know, these are not college corners hitting you anymore.
Right.
So that's a good, because people say he never missed any games from injury, but he wasn't also taking hits from Carl Joseph either, you know?
Yeah, but when you look at it, too, it's everybody's built differently. And if you look at the way he's built like a wiry piece of steel. And when you hit a wiry...
He's wiry. That was on last night on TBS.
It was. You didn't text me, man. Nigel the Lamb.
Sam and I were both watching.
But some guys... They could be...
Miles and miles of heart.
They could be a dinosaur.
Jimmy McGinty says... You need heart to get back in this game.
Devontae Smith's 6'1". All right, I'm 6'1". I weighed 166 for the longest time. I gained 15 pounds. All
and
I had to do was have a kid and
sexy
stop
exercising. You know that, right?
All I had to do was have a kid and stop exercising. So if I can add 15 pounds to 6'1", I think.
Mind
I
you, me and Kevin were talking about
you
that.
Never,
in
you
last
never
break.
Took off the pregnant weight.
Dear Lord.
The dad bod's right there. He's gonna, hopefully he's going to be putting on a different kind of weight.
You're not there yet. Wait until the second one comes, Kev.
Yeah, well, it's coming. So
this is true dad bod right here.
I'm going to move up a UFC weight class again. Each kid you have, you move up one UFC weight class. I think that's
can we all agree? I think Devontae Smith was a great and not only that. All right, they did their research. They knew Kyle Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase were not going to be there at six. So at that point, what do you really need? I mean, well, it's a flip. I thought
Patrick Surtain?
No.
Panay Sewell.
Would have gone, and then, in fact, Ja'Marr Chase would have been there. I would have taken either Sewell or Chase.
Yeah.
So you question that a little bit because, you know, a legit blindside, which you don't have right now, you could move Jordan into the guard position, which I think he is better at than what he's been learning, but regardless, it was too much of a calculated risk. They move down, they pick up an extra pick, then they jump the Giants in a trade with, how about them Cowboys? We've got a little tribute song to Micah Parsons coming up here shortly. Zach, what do you got?
I don't think the Dolphins made that move to get to six to get Jalen Waddle. I mean,
I think he fell.
In reality, no.
I know.
I think they thought that someone else was going to move up ahead of them, and they were going to jump into that fourth and fifth spot to take a quarterback. That's what they were relying on. Someone was going to go up and get Justin Fields, and then Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase were going to fall into their lap at six. Yep. Because you don't make that move to just get Jalen Waddle. You could have made another move to get Jalen Waddle if you wanted to. Six was not the pick. I think the Dolphins were caught with their pants down.
A little bit.
Regardless, Eagles, day one, grade
Grand
A+.
Slam. A+, yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, God.
Day two.
My shirt says,
are you still mad at me about Friday night?
No, it's 1995. I'm in Las Vegas, and I'm watching Independence Day at the theater. And it gets through the first bashing, and then it comes down across the screen. Day two, and the music all somber.
Oh, was that when they showed the Statue of Liberty head in the water at day two?
Yeah. All right. Here's my problem with the selection at 37.
Yeah.
All right. You have next to nothing in your secondary or linebacker
corps. Correct.
Right now. You have Herbig, who you drafted last year, who can also play center. All right. Maybe he's not your premier Jason Kelce center. All right. But he can play center. You have Driscoll, who after the draft yesterday doesn't even make it on the Eagles' board as far as depth chart anymore. He's not even on there. And that's after one person being drafted. You even have Big Puddin' coming back. And Kevin, in case you don't know who Big Puddin' is, Andre Diller.
Okay.
He's beer. All right. Big Puddin'.
Yeah, that's an affectionate term. Created by Mr. Hollis.
A term of endearment.
Yes. Yeah, this is really not a term of endearment. It's a term of displaying how he plays and how soft he is. Quite tender.
So, you at least have some depth at that position. You don't have a lot, but you have some depth. All right, you're going to have competition at the blind side. You're going to have competition at left guard. You're going to have competition not at center, but Kelsey's been the most reliable and healthy individual that you've had. Go ahead.
He picked a guy who's not going to do anything for us this year or the foreseeable future. Point blank.
It's not a matter of that.
It kind of is.
No, it is. It isn't. No, it isn't. What you did, whether or not he can come in and contribute, ACL tears are not year-long recoveries anymore.
He's a big dog. Yes, it is.
Listen.
And if you're going to be effective and you're going to play, it is.
Thank you.
And you know what? If they get him the second half of the season, I'm okay with
that. He starts out the season on the pup.
But fact is, you drafted a guy who has had three season-ending injuries in 4 years of college.
Four out of five.
Yeah. Four out of five.
Yeah.
All right. What compels you? Look, first of all, we're going to get to that. All right, he's dirty. He's nasty. He does not discriminate against any defensive player. He is flat out there to pound you. And you got to love that.
I love that, but...
Thank you. However, what makes you think that he's going to be durable enough to make it through an entire season when he hasn't shown the ability to in his entire college career?
And that was college he was in, too. The NFL is a whole lot different. You're going to come across a lot of guys who are just like your teammates. It's like, see, when you look at what they did, they kind of hamstring us. This entire draft, to me, was a bunch of projects. A bunch of guys who are
don't get to that yet. You're four moves ahead. I'm not letting you play. I'm definitely not letting you play.
Let me finish my statement. Let me finish my statement. And this was just one of the microcosms of the entire draft. That's why I wore this shirt, because I felt like a stepbrother the entire time watching this damn draft. And like every pick was like, what the hell was that? And you see, and the
concept of 30 seconds still doesn't guess.
You didn't tell me 30 seconds.
I went like this. I can't make that. It's not 3 inches. It's bigger than that, baby.
I'll take your word for it. But go ahead. It's very awkward. Go ahead, Kevin.
And we'll come back with more of Hollis's take on chess moves five down on Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, the Game of Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light. Back right after this. All right, so Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, Philadelphia, the Gambler, brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. All right, back to the 37th pick.
Okay.
All right. You've got enough depth at the O-line position. You got Brandon Brooks coming back.
Yep.
Supposedly.
Yep.
Lane Johnson should be healthy.
Correct.
Right. These are all guys you're paying a lot of money to. And one of the reasons why you're in salary cap hell. All right. So if you're giving up on some of these already, hey, mistake by you, or, you know, nobody could expect Brandon Brooks to go Achilles.
Oh, God. Right. No,
but here's the deal. At 37, you are so thin at corner. You are so thin at linebacker. You've got Samuel Jr. sitting there. And why take a pedigree, especially somebody who played here and who played here well?
Tremendously well.
Also won Super Bowls in New England.
and you wonder, his dad told him, look, you're going to play in Philadelphia. This is what you're going to expect. The guy's ready to play, and you pass on him. And the problem that I have with 37 is exactly what you said, Tank, yep, earlier, which is he's not going to make any impact this year. And you have immediate needs. And at 37, you can draft somebody who can start, make an impact.
Right now.
Right now, and have massive upside potential. At 37, that's just a late first-round pick.
Pretty much.
A real late first-round pick. Sack, and then Kevin.
Me and Kev were talking about this on break. You have so much money invested on both sides of the trenches. And we talked about it on the show yesterday. Like, you have so much money that's invested in you know, like, with the defensive line, the offensive line, and I didn't think you needed to make any moves this year. After next season, when, you know, maybe you can get rid of Lane if he's still struggling with injuries, Brandon Brooks, if Kelsey retires, at that point you can start looking towards the future in the trenches, and then next year you go heavy in the trenches on both sides of the ball during the course of the draft. But this year was supposed to be about the skill positions, adding a playmaker on offense, a wide receiver. They did that. But who's playing on the opposite side of Darius Slay when you're playing teams that have offensive potential? Like
a ham,
like the
sandwich.
Like the football team who has Curtis Samuel and Terry McLaurin who have burned you in the past, and the Giants and the Cowboys who are offensively structured really well.
It's hard for me to say in general that you can really miss in a draft when you have needs all over the field, but one of the places that they really didn't have needs was they were pretty good in the trenches. Like,
yeah,
but
exactly. On the defensive Thank you.
Line, like, yeah, the defensive
little
line,
thin on defensive end.
Well, yeah, you could use depth. Look, yeah, I mean, because Derek Barnett's coming out of contract. Brandon Graham's not getting any younger. Mm-hmm. Behind Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave, you have Hassan Ridgeway coming off injury. Yeah. You can always go for depth on the defensive line. Knowing what we know about the Eagles, they love defensive linemen. Yeah. They're always going to draft a defensive lineman or two in every draft. Yeah. Offensively, I guess the same thing. It's hard for me to sit here and say, like, you know, a team's building up the trenches for the future. I can't get super mad about that, but they do have stuff that was more pressing to me.
Yeah,
you know.
But when the thing is, the pressing part is that the kid's injured, and you don't know when he's going to be back.
Yeah,
yeah, he might be back in the second half of the season. I was like, but you missed on some people that could make,
hey, maybe he makes it to the playoffs that we won't make it to.
Well, it's like this back and forth thing. It's like they weren't really interested in Metcalf because the injuries were a concern, but then they went for Sidney Jones instead. And
right.
So now it's like they're coming back and they're going to try on Dickerson again. It's like,
yeah,
I get it. I, you know,
I don't get it. I don't get you. You going out and screwing the pooch like this and just totally messing up.
Here's everything. here's the one thing. Like the macro. If you take a step back and look at the macro level thing of what is this team in 2021? Like, honestly, we know they're not going to
be building for 22.
Good. Okay, so does it matter if the dude's ready to play game one this year?
Kind
like
of,
what's the expectation? You know what? Relative to the expectations for this team?
The, let me answer that real quick. If you bring those 1 year mercenaries in here and you make a pick like that, yeah, you think somebody's going to sign here on a 1 year contract again? Yeah, because you already showed me that you're not looking to win.
You're not committed.
You're not committed to win. You're not looking for. You don't have any money under the salary cap.
They know that they're just placeholders until
you can still know you're a placeholder, but you still want to go somewhere and win. You could be a placeholder at somewhere and win.
Yeah. The NFL is designed so somebody can be 4-12 one year and 12-4 the following year.
Yeah.
If you make the right moves,
look at the NFC East over the years.
It's a case, but let's move on from Dickerson, because we got a lot to get to, and we're actually starting to run out of time already. We're almost through our first hour. As far as Milton Williams goes at 73, the knock for me with him is that he's a tweener. All right, I'm not looking for a tweener. I'm not looking for a guy that's got to put on 10 pounds and see if he can hold his speed.
Yeah, they're not sure looking if he's for a tackle guy, or an end.
Yeah, you know, what's the point? Here's a guy, again, in a position, and give me a second here, because this is where I'm gonna give you my conceptual foundation of the true problem with day two. I don't think they did so bad on day three as they did on day two. I think they screwed the pooch on day two because of this. All right. Another guy who is not going to contribute this year. If he does, you're still he might contribute, but he's not a component. He's not a he's a
he's
project.
Not a starter.
He's not a starter.
He's going to rotate right. in for Fletcher Cox and Hargrave Maybe. When they come off the field.
So and we'll get to the fourth pick, which was a corner. But we don't know
where. Make sure you save time for me on the fourth pick. Yeah. I have a lot to say.
Yeah, Kevin,
excellent. Excellent. And just like you said, of all the positions in need, defensive line and offensive line, the trenches were not there. So, with your second and third pick, you hamstring this team yet again from two different directions. And I'll get to you right after.
Yeah.
You're in salary cap hell. All right? With the second, third round picks, you went with question marks when you could have covered two positions. With legit starters that will have impact right away and massive upside potential in favor of an injury-prone lineman and a project tweener. All right? You passed on Samuel Jr. You passed on Jabril Cox. You didn't fill positions of need in favor of projects. And as a result, the only way you can fill those positions of need is with one-year warriors
yep.
that aren't nothing but question marks. You didn't develop this team any further with your second and third round picks than you did or than what you had last year.
100%, man.
You legitimately had an opportunity to fill two starting roles on this team. And you screwed the pooch again.
Go ahead, Kip.
No, just a word about tweeners. You know, it's like I was sitting there looking at 37. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was a first-round projection, the butt-kiss winner, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know how the Eagles don't value linebackers, right? So I'm not really surprised that they passed on him. But what's the justification for if you're going to go tweener on the defensive line, or you're going to go tweener later in the draft and you have a safety who you think plays like a linebacker,
right.
What's the difference between the butt-kiss award winner being built more like a safety? Like, where are you drawing the line on the on these body types? Because if you're willing to move one guy from up from here to here, why not here to here?
And the funny thing is when you said that, I was thinking the same thing, because the guy's a tweener, and he played the rover position. The rover position means that you play safety, or sometimes you come down to play will linebacker,
yeah.
because the linebackers are not fast enough to catch up, to keep up with the coverage.
Yeah.
So and you get a kid who's smart, and he's a hitter. And then you go and fish for these other two, this other guy, who you skip over his teammate, who was better than him, and you bring him in, who's another project. You went and got a bunch of projects that are probably going to end up on practice squad.
That's the question I would ask to Howie Roseman and Andy Weiler. I say, why a tweener hybrid here, but not a tweener hybrid here? You know, because I don't think that's ever been explained. I don't know if anybody's ever asked them explicitly about that. You know, why is the safety linebacker body type different from you see a guy who might be a defensive tackler and might be a defensive end? Like, what is your philosophy on that? I don't think it's ever been explained.
Nothing about the philosophy regarding this team makes any sense
that's
to anybody.
Right, I know. Correct. Yeah. Well, it's like Howie makes a great first pick, and then it's like then he slides back into, like, can't-help-himself territory.
Thank you.
And
I think thank you. Exactly.
That's the thing that was maddening about it, because I think everybody loved the first pick. And they're like, they finally got it. Oh, yep. God forbid, they actually drafted Alabama players, by the way.
We're coming out of day one, and we're going, oh, my God, Friday's going to be awesome.
I know, like, hell had frozen over because he went twice to Alabama. So it's strange to see him slide back into that. Like, it's like he can't help himself.
I don't. You guys! Friday's going to be great.
I don't want to talk to Harry Roseman or Andy Wydell. I'm more interested in talking to Tom Donahue.
He was the best.
Yeah,
former vice president of football operations?
Yeah, because I'm sitting there like, and when earlier, Howell's made a point, and you liked the Quimby. He left you hanging for about 30 seconds on that fist bump. And for a minute there, I was taken back to the Eagles war room after they made that third round selection. Because I was sitting there, I saw Howie and Tom Donahue in that moment in time, and it was fantastic. That's the one guy I want to talk to, because if you noticed when they made the selections on day three, Did you notice that they didn't include his chair, his seat, in any
was,
of those
like,
images
conveniently
at all?
Cut out, yes, dropped he's cut out, out of the shot.
Did you notice what was different about the Philadelphia Eagles war room compared to everybody else's?
It was
everybody else was excited in the, all the other war rooms, and then there's
nope.
It's just Howie prancing
nope.
through, giving like
nope.
lame fist
nope.
bumps.
What's that?
Nope.
Give it to us.
Every decent war room had about 15 or 20 people in it. Eagles had 5 or 6.
You only needed Jeffrey there to make the selection.
That was it. And the fall guy.
Well, especially, I think that video blew up, too, because one of the topics coming into the draft was, are they all on the same page?
Exactly.
Because it had been reported that they were not last year. So I understand. People may look at that video and be like, ah, maybe it's just an overreaction because, you know, not everybody's going to agree. But that was a big topic coming into it. So, of course, people are going to look at it and feel a certain way.
Everybody, we're going to get more into the draft when we come back top of the hour here on Green Legion Radio, live from Philly Live Casino. Live from Philly Live Casino. I'm going to get really, really twisted.
I do that every Sunday.
Yeah. Brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, and again, on Fox Sports The Gambler here in Philadelphia, 104.1 Trenton, WDAS AM throughout the rest of the Delaware Valley. We'll be back right after this. In Philadelphia, brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. We're still teaching Hollis how to use a headset cord here. It's all right. Just trying to give you some room, big dog.
Okay.
Good things.
Good things. Mazel, mazel.
Everybody, we're jumping right into draft analysis with pick number 4, overall pick number 4 in just a second. If you did not watch the NFL Network coverage, first of all, I can't watch ESPN anymore.
Oh, God.
They support Colin Kaepernick, and I can't do that. So, all over 860 all day. And if you didn't watch yesterday's coverage, Rich Eisen just loves the moment in time when a team actually goes off the board and takes a kicker or a punter. I have been trying like hell to find this video. I taped it on my phone off of my television yesterday. It's not worth it. So I will give you word for word verbatim and try to explain Rich Eisen or try to enunciate what he did. Rich Eisen, coming back from break, everyone. We have reached one of my favorite parts of the draft annually. We have reached that part. Last 5 picks. Put them up. The last pick, just announced by the Cincinnati Bengals. They are visionaries. 149th overall. Out of Florida, kicker. Evan McPherson. Please tell me there's kicking video. Please tell me we got the analysis of Evan McPherson. Please tell me. Oh, there we go. Look at that. Look at that bright sunshine face. Oh, wait, Evan. Okay, Evan. Kick it! Kick it! Yeah, there it is. Oh, wow, look at that. Oh, it's a perfect snap. Kick it! Kick it! Oh, my. Oh, that. Oh, damn, that's almost at the 50-yard line. Kick it! Kick it. Look, and then straight. the best part about this clip was Don Smolensky was picking on video next, and they move away from the Evan McPherson highlights. You know, while Rich Eisen is in the middle of it, and then you see Don Smolensky on video, and Rich Eisen goes, oh, great. There's the Philadelphia Eagles ruining this party. It was hysterical. And if you've ever listened or watched Rich Eisen, every draft he does the same thing. Waits for somebody to take a punter or a kicker. And look at that. Wait. Put it!
Tell me we have
footage. Kick it. Anyway. All right. Time to analyze. Round number 4. Pick overall number 123. We're going to hand this off to our good friend Kevin Kincaid from Crossing Broad. Zach McPherson, cornerback, Texas Tech. Baby, you are up.
Yeah, listen, here's a statistic for you. You know how many Big 12 defensive players were taken in the first 3 rounds of this draft? A grand total of three. Not a single first-rounder. Last year, they had the linebacker Murray out of Oklahoma and the cornerback out of TCU, so that was kind of an outlier. But my team plays in the Big 12. I watch a lot of Big 12. I think the thought is that because it's such a passing league, these guys have like a bazillion targets coming at them. Okay? But that's not what you want. That's you know, the Big 12 football more or less is glorified 7-on-7 flag football.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
I hate to say
bet
it.
The over. No, yeah. No. That, yeah. And come game day, FanDuel. All right. What are you doing to a Big 12 game? Are you betting any unders?
No, seriously. When's the last time you said to yourself, man, Texas Tech, what a defense? No, honest to God. Now, listen, they have a defensive coordinator who came through West Virginia, who was at West Virginia 6 or 7 years ago. His name's Keith Patterson. Mm-hmm. Hollis, you can back me up on all this stuff, right? Yep. Help fill it in, right?
Okay.
A lot of these
and
teams.
And you have a West Virginia football shirt.
I do. That's where I went. We haven't been good for a while, but I was there during the Rich Rod years, so I can at least I got to watch good stuff. But a lot of these, like, middle-of-the-pack Big 12 teams run kind of weird schemes where it's like 3-3-5 stack, you know, drop 8, rush 3. You're kind of using these tweener hybrid kind of guys. Safeties will get up under the outside linebacker spot. Linebackers will get up on the line. Yep. It'll look like a 4-2-5 at times. Like these guys, these cornerbacks who were playing at Texas Tech and West Virginia and all this stuff are playing in schemes that you're not really going to have in the NFL, you know, so I don't know if a guy like Zach McPherson, who probably played a ton of zone at Texas Tech, dropping into a web, drop 8 guys, try to confuse the quarterback. I don't know how that translates. You know?
It doesn't translate well. When they come on and say don't have a turkey football game with them, and that's like one of the leading highlights. And it's like it's not a reigning endorsement. It's like he has great energy. When you say she has great energy, it's just like this, like saying she has a nice personality.
Thank you. Damn you beat me to it.
It's like so when I'm looking at him,
she hot? She has a great personality.
I was like, oh god, she's a biscuit. So as I'm watching some of his highlights, will look to be mediocre lights to me because he's getting torched. What he's getting torched sometimes, and then sometimes he doesn't have any ball awareness. Yeah. It's like I didn't see the value at this pick either.
No, and look, if you transfer from Penn State because you couldn't get on the field at Penn State to go to Texas Tech, which they will take any defensive player they can find, any defensive transfer. I mean, that's kind of a flag.
I actually believe this is most people's reaction. And Marianne Slutkowski or whatever it was when she announced it, this was Philadelphia.
Yeah, crickets. I hope the guy does well, honestly.
He's a project again.
And they're all those guys are weird corners. Like, Rasul Douglas had, like, 8 interceptions 1 year, but you're thinking about it. How much is a product of that of, like, you're only rushing 3?
Kevin, answer this for me.
Yeah.
All right. Why do you continue to draft the tweeners? This guy's a tweener. And the analysis coming out is this guy might be your nickel cornerback.
Correct.
Maybe.
What are you doing? Well, what are you doing
no, look,
again?
If you started a game, if the Eagles had a game tomorrow, who would your corners be? Darius Slay
and Avonte Maddox.
Avonte Maddox.
And maybe I like
a free
Avonte
agent
Maddox,
that they pick up off the street.
Well, you like him because he's a good guy and he's a friend of the show. He was on the program. Like, listen, I'm stealing your term here. They screwed the pooch. I mean, for the love of God, like, why is it so hard to try and draft decent cornerbacks for the NFL? They haven't been able to draft anybody since Leto and Sheldon Brown.
They literally look at the trenches every time and...
Because they're going to hope that you're going to get to the quarterback, and then the cornerbacks are irrelevant, right?
Pretty much.
How many times have you heard of a coverage sack as opposed to...
Man, you got there quick.
Yeah, thank you.
What you're going to wind up having, you're going to have an older corner that they're going to sign, that they're going to bring in here, and he's going to be on the last leg, his last tread on his tires, and then eventually you're going to sit there and like throw the kid in there, right? I mean, that's what I'm looking at.
Super Bowl team, the corners were a 7th-round draft pick who was serviceable, a guy you brought in as a free agent, another guy you brought in as a free agent. Okay, so they lucked out with that, bringing in guys from outside because there wasn't a track record of drafting them and developing them in-house.
Yeah, the trade for Darby and training camp.
Darby and Patrick Robinson.
Yeah, Patrick Robinson was a first-round pick.
Yeah, who had to come from somebody else, right?
From New Orleans.
Yeah. So that's a concern there. I hope the kid does really well, but I see huge red flags whenever a dude from Texas Tech's defense goes to the honestly.
seriously.
Like Texas Tech.
Yeah, they have not valued defense in Lubbock in like 40 years.
Kevin, I'm not going to lie. Your delivery on this is perfect, brother.
This is like dear to my heart because I watch Big 12 football every week. And I'm like, God, can somebody please get to the quarterback? Like,
Texas Tech. Yeah,
Patrick Mahomes ain't coming through that door anymore down there. You know what I mean?
Let's move on to round number 5, pick number 150 overall. All right, Kenneth Gainwell, running back out of Memphis. I'm going to say a few things, and I'm going to pass it off to Tank, then to Kevin, then to Chris. All right. First of all, the only last name better for a running back would have been Kenneth Touchdown.
Sounds about right.
All right. Yeah. Kenneth Gainwell, yep. Yo, you big shoes to fill right away. 5'11", 195 pounds. Diddy said in his analysis, look, don't expect the big backs anymore. You know, and why would you do that? Because, you know, LeGarrette Blount only won you a Super Bowl because he was a hammerhead.
No. It was part of a three-headed monster, but
no.
Go for it.
No. He was the leading truck.
He was.
Jay Ajayi and Corey Clement were just as leading.
They came after
Corey
him.
Clement was great. Jay Ajayi was...
I mean, Corey Clement could have been the Super Bowl MVP.
LeGarrette Blount could have taken all of Jay Ajayi's snaps and we'd have still been there. Fact. But 5'11", 194 pounds. Tank, what do you got on Kenneth Gainwell? What do you think?
He's a great route runner. He's one of those guys.
One of the better pass catchers.
One of the better pass catchers and one of the better blitz picker-uppers. He's gotten pretty much.
Is that a term?
Picker-uppers. Picker up.
That's in the Urban Dictionary.
That's in the Urban Dictionary. It is now.
But I believe that.
And you know, they just was talking about his top end speed. I was like, but if he gets to the second or third level, you've gained enough to get a first down for me. So if he gets up there, I'm good. And I felt like this was one of those picks that they lucked into because I didn't expect the kid to be there around this time because I watched the play at Memphis. He's pretty good.
He's Nyheim Hines. For the Eagles, because Nick Sirianni had Hines, who was a great pass catcher.
I like
kind of built the same way.
Yeah.
You know, look, if Hines last year went for 380 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns, 482 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns, you get anything like that behind Miles Sanders, you'd take that any day of the week. Right?
Well,
so they see him as like a pass catcher.
Miles Sanders isn't going to play more than 11 or 12 games.
You already know that.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at him as like a great guy out of the backfield who can be that like 1B to Sanders being the 1A, and they model him and they want to use him the way that Sirianni used Nyheim Hines, I think that's you take that any day of the week.
I'm all right with that. Yeah. If Jordan Howard can actually punch the ball a little bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, so Boston Scott is still here as well. So, but I think
Hold on a second, man. We all love Boston Scott and one of the strong guys, but we had him on the program. The guy can reach the Crispix.
I'm just saying he's still here, though. At least you have him as an option. I said all along that you can't rely on Miles Sanders being a guy that's going to get 18 to 20 touches a game, and that's including receptions. You need to minimize him as much as possible. And the fact that you can bring this kid in here, and he's good on pass protection, he took Micah Parsons' lunch.
Did.
If you saw that viral video.
I don't know if you saw that, Q.
Yeah, I think Parsons is losing sleep over the fact that Gainwell is now in the division. You know, that's going to take a lot of pressure off of Miles, and you're not really going to lose much. And I hope his receiving skills, he can show Miles, again, because Miles last year, he had stone hands. He cannot catch the football. There was too many drops. So this kid right here is going to alleviate that, and plus he can protect the blind side of Jalen Hurts if need be.
Gosh, you're making me feel more important than a dwarf among midgets.
Hey, can you reach the Crispix?
Yes, I can.
That's my man, Boston Scott.
All right, at least we can play that one, right?
I got away with that.
Did you run that by Tyler Reed?
I didn't even ask for permission there. We won't talk about... There once were two cowboys all alone out on the trail, and they discovered they could sleep.
That's enough.
Round number 6.
Tune in to Get Tank Tappy Hour for that one.
Pick number 189, Marlon Tuipulotu. Did I say that right?
Yeah. Tuipulotu. Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Tuipulotu. All right. Only reason why we're going to spend any time on this is because he's a big dog.
Yeah.
But another guy documented with a ton of lower body injuries.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he was even projected higher than Williams on the draft. 6'3", 305, good size
yeah.
for a big dog.
Yeah.
Not a tweener. He's a big dog.
He's a big dog.
Give it to us.
His upside is his speed and athleticism, and he's got great strength, but he lacks pass rush moves. So he's trying to run everybody over.
I didn't pull this stat. He still had a few.
Yeah, still.
I think he had 8.5 sacks.
Yeah, he still had a few sacks, but if you watch all the sacks,
five. Just jump in, Zach.
Okay. Yeah. Was it five?
No. I'm saying 5 minutes.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you watch all of his sacks, he's crushing the opposition in
you
front of him.
You can't throw me the minute number, numeric value when we're talking statistics.
That's why I waited until Zach started
talking. 8.5 sacks. Zach goes like this. What the hell, man? Trying to help. Kev, what do you got?
I don't know if you guys are really big into reading between the lines with quotes, but when they ask Andy...
I don't know if I'm big into reading, period.
Okay, well, there you go. Then this is good. All right, so...
Unless it's on the John for Quimby.
They asked Andy Weidel, you know, go through the day, three picks, right?
Right.
And he went through everybody in chronological order, but he forgot this guy.
Yeah.
And then he went back at the end... Mm-hmm. And remembered him and started talking about him. So I don't know if there's something there or not, because he just started going... It makes me think that maybe it wasn't his guy.
You think?
But maybe Howie liked it, you know, because he went Gainwell,
and
McPherson...
Everybody keep in mind, Weidel, you know, the only reason that Weidel has a job is because it's Jeffrey Lurie's son's friend from college.
Hey, listen, whatever gets you in the door, you know?
I hear you. Listen, we are not afraid to rip... The management here. I know.
That's refreshing.
If the wind is proper, you could spit to the NovaCare Center.
There you go.
And don't worry. Look,
I just, you know, when you see a guy out of USC, I mean, like,
this is all...
USC is not what they used to be, but still, yeah. I mean, they still recruit well. Yeah. They still got studs coming in.
Well, yeah, but when you look at it, when you look at all of his sacks, too, it's not like he was hurting anybody. He was hurting some people, but it's not like he was running around the block or anything, and he was pretty good. I felt like he was pretty decent.
Yeah.
Let's move on to round number 6, overall pick number 191. This is one that I actually kind of want to dive into just a little bit. Taron Jackson, DN, Coastal Carolina.
Ooh.
Now, Coastal Carolina is in the, what's that conference?
Are they a Sun Belt team? They're not.
Yeah, Sun Belt. I think it's Sun Belt. Yeah. It is Sunbelt?
Oh, you know
what?
No, they played
not.
A bunch
no,
of... No, they so. Played independent. No. I think they played independent.
Okay.
No, I don't think they're independent.
That's why we
Kent
got four
and
computers
Troy
here.
Kent State and Troy.
That's why we have four people with four computers here.
Yeah, and our producer isn't doing squat over
there. It is
there.
A Sunbelt.
Look at you on your phone.
It's
Sunbelt.
Sunbelt conference.
Sunbelt, right. Yeah.
So, 6'2", 245.
Right.
Another edge rusher / outside linebacker in a 3-4. A bit of a flyer, but considering, all right, when we're talking about the D line and the trenches, Osman and Leo backing up Graham Barnett and Sweat, not a whole lot. So we had to kind of go there. And I understand the Milton thing, not so much. But this guy, 188 tackles in his career, 42 for a loss. 24.5 sacks and 6 forced fumbles in his college career. Do we see him, Tank, do we see him as an edge rusher? Do we see him trying to play some linebacker? Do we? This is a guy who's all over the place. Now, granted, the Sun Belt, not as competitive. And you found out what happened when Coastal Carolina goes to a bowl game.
Yeah.
But, you know, is there any value in this pick in the 6th round?
Yeah.
Overall, 191.
Yeah, because if you look at the stats, truly over the past two seasons, he had 27 tackles for loss and 18.5 sacks over the past two seasons. I don't care.
Pretty
who
impressive.
And I don't care who you are. It's hard as hell to get the quarterback down. So to me, I'm looking at people who make plays. Right at this point, people who make plays and people who are really good. And I feel like it's pretty good value whether you put him at D end or you put him at outside linebacker.
The thing about Coastal is that they did play BYU and beat BYU, and they held Zach Wilson's offense to 17 points. You know, they beat that Louisiana.
Kevin,
former.
Thank you. Excellent.
They had some decent games. I mean, that they're not Louisiana Lafayette anymore. They're just Louisiana.
Yeah,
they beat them too. Georgia Southern's actually a pretty good team. They went and beat Kansas.
By the way,
so there, you can
bet the over every time.
Every time, yeah. You take a little bit more from that schedule and film.
Yeah.
At this point in the draft, I really didn't mind what they were doing at this point in the draft. I'm just disappointed from what they were doing still in the second and third round. That's the killer to me. If you're going to take flyers on these guys in the later rounds.
I'm okay with what
play.
They did day three, but right. I'm so pissed off about what they did day two.
Absolutely fine. But the fact that you came out of this draft with one corner and a safety linebacker hybrid is what annoys the crap out of me, because in this league, which is a passing league, you need to be able to stop the opposition. And I know there's a premium on getting to the quarterback and getting to the ground, but you also need playmakers in the secondary.
Could not agree more. This is why we have a show together.
I mean, hey, man.
My man.
People let me tell you about my best friend.
Everybody, Green Legion Radio, special draft cover program, special draft coverage program here at Philly Live Casino. And we are still here until 2 o'clock p.m. I'm getting a little drunk right now because I only had a few strawberries for breakfast and kind of happy about that. So I'm going to continue to get drunk as we finish this hour. And Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light, back right after this. What is this?
This is the Rocky IV training montage you asked
for. Oh, we got to wait. We got to give it a minute. Sorry. Everybody, we'll appreciate this on Green Legion
Literally,
Radio.
It's going to take a minute until you get to something good in this.
Wow, it's not supposed
it takes
to take
that
this long.
That's I'm telling you right now.
I even fast-forwarded it to try and get to the good part.
Struggle! All right.
Just start talking. It'll pick up.
Yeah. All right, so round six, pick number 224.
I have this on my iPod.
There it is. That's the part you needed to get to right there.
Well, you should have told him what time to start it.
No, the shortened versions. We got to get into...
It's going to take...
It's okay. Everybody's waiting for this anyway. We're almost the music station right now. There it is.
There you go.
I don't think anybody was waiting on it.
Excuse me, Tank.
I'm just saying.
Anyway. Green Legion Radio, live from Philly Live Casino, brought to you by Bud Light on Fox Sports The Gambler. Round six, pick number 224, Jacoby Stevens. Safety, kind of. Linebacker, yeah. Kind of. LSU. Who wants to go first? Kev, go.
My rule of thumb, I'll take any defensive player from LSU any day of the week. Right? Any Ed Orgeron coach defensive player.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, the Eagles announced him on social media and all their platforms as a linebacker.
Yeah.
So, look, at the bottom line, it's like...
But do you think they did that for a reason?
we care how much we care about the position.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, probably.
Look, we drafted one. Look, I mean, if you end up with the... A cost-controlled special teamer back up in the sixth round. That's not the worst thing.
Well, to piggyback on what you said, he misses a lot of tackles, so I highly doubt he'll be on special teams. He misses an immense amount of tackles.
No.
He's got some skill. Easy Ed, I played for Easy Ed. Is one of my last years
Easy.
In New Orleans. Yeah, Easy Ed Orgeron. He's a project. He's a project at best.
So where would you play him, as a linebacker or a safety?
I don't know what the hell I would play him. I would try to see what he can do.
I'd have to see if he gets on the field.
Isn't it the job of a linebacker or a safety and or a safety to make tackles?
Yeah, make
so
plays.
So now I'm hearing that this guy misses a lot of tackles.
An immense amount of tackles.
What the hell are we doing here?
What are we doing? And the other part I forgot to say is he's out of position a lot. So I don't know what the hell they were doing here.
Listen, the only reason why they didn't draft a kicker there was because they didn't want the Rich Eisen commentary.
Oh, they didn't want to say, please, do we have footage?
Thank God I was mowing the yard yesterday. Jesus. The front yard.
Hey, listen, what you do with your wife is on your own time. So,
hey.
On our last pick.
I thought the manscaper, you know.
I know. Wait. No, it's okay.
All right.
Yeah, they haven't gotten back to me yet. Manscaped, what the hell is wrong with you? Let's get through this because we still have a lot of conceptual
stuff.
Can't
wait to do those live reads.
Now, this...
Deepest apologies,
folks.
That
was funny. Thank you. Last pick. Round number seven. Pick number 234 overall. Mm-hmm. Another one. Patrick Johnson, edge rusher, Tulane, 6'2", 240. Eagles announced him as well as a linebacker.
Yep.
Yeah, ironically,
what do we have there?
Ironically, the NFL comparison that Lance Zierlein gave was Derek Barnett.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's how I'm looking at it right now. It says
from the
Derek
first
Barnett.
To the seventh
so he's
round.
He's
going to
kick
right.
a player in the nuts before he sacks him.
good for 115-yard unsportsmanlike conduct per game. Right?
Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
Yeah. I think he's this guy seems like an overachiever because he was a two-star recruit.
Here we go.
Coming
out
of high school.
Yeah, okay. Statistics for this guy. Led the NCAA in sacks for a short time last year and wound up tied for third overall with 10. Since 2018, he's had 24.5 sacks.
Yeah.
6 forced fumbles and 11 batted passes. Big Dog, give us your take on defensive line. You know, regardless... Those are difficult numbers to achieve anywhere, right?
Well, yeah, and actually, I had the privilege of knowing some of the coaches from Tulane, and they said he's a workhorse. He comes in, and he learns well, and
didn't we hear that about Derek Barnett?
Yeah, we heard some stuff about Derek Barnett. But
hold on, maybe that's the comparison. He's a workhorse.
He works extremely hard on his craft. His counterpart was drafted like a few spots before him, so they were a nice 1-2 punch. So I think he has enough agility to become a linebacker. But this guy's a little bit different. He's a guy that could come in right away and back up somebody and help you with depth on the defensive line.
Let's talk about go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, Tulane is still are they in Conference USA still?
I think so.
Yeah, that's not a bad conference.
It's not,
like
not
Marshall,
horrible.
Marshall was really good. Yeah, I think Houston was playing well for a while. Yeah, so.
Let's talk about this for a heartbeat.
Okay.
All right. Linebacker. All right. You drafted none. Truly.
Truly none.
All right. You drafted 2 edge rushers that you called linebackers. Am I accurate on this?
Yeah.
All right. Is anybody, Big Dog and I are. Sack, I'm pretty sure you're with this. Kevin, you haven't been on the show enough for us to know. Is anybody else tired of this team completely neglecting the linebacker position? First of all, your D tackle, your Big Dog experiment.
Yes.
All right. Has gone completely wrong.
Awry.
All right. Fletcher Cox, okay? You want to build your team around Fletcher Cox. I'm sorry, brother. I love you. You are one of my closest. You are one of my best friends. Without question.
Aww.
And I don't want... No. You can shut the hell up.
It doesn't offend me.
But I don't value the D-tackle position as much as this organization seems to. Granted, it's the middle of the field. You want to stuff it.
Yeah.
And you want to put people like him.
Giggity.
And thank you. there once was a... anyway. Fletcher Cox, as much of... you want, as much as you want him to succeed, I think his contract was overvalued. He's not great by himself. And I believe that Howie has been trying to support the contract he gave Fletcher by giving him massive amounts of help next door with Timmy Jernigan.
Bust.
Malik Jackson. Bust. Javon Hargrave. So far?
Bust.
Bust.
Bust. God. All right.
Jernigan went with so much.
And you wonder why you're in cap hell. When you're giving Jernigan $11 million, you're giving Malik Jackson $10 million, you're giving Hargrave $13 million, and you've got Fletcher locked up for $20 million. Sean Kitzmiller, I promised you I would say this after I stole this line from you. Why didn't we draft a linebacker higher? Sean goes, well, because all the linebackers in this year's draft have 2 good ACLs.
Sounds about right.
How disturbing is that?
The disturbing part is this. When you put those guys like that in front of somebody, you're supposed to put somebody who knows what the hell
behind
they're
it.
Doing behind them.
Behind it.
You have a linebacker.
Fact of the matter is, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but if somebody gets past that front four, there's a reason why it's called a linebacker. You have the defensive line and you have the linebacker. shocker.
And if you,
there's nothing there right now. I'm sorry.
I know there's nothing there.
I like Singleton.
I was getting ready to tell you there's nothing there. And when you look at the way that they run the structure of their defense, the defensive line is not doing anything wrong. We just have linebackers who don't know what the hell they're doing. I've seen so many linebackers overrun the play. They don't know what they're doing on play action fake. They don't know what they're doing on anything. And it's just. You're supposed to spend money because the reason if they get past the defensive line, you have a linebacker there because he's not getting hit. He's not getting touched because you have the big dogs up front taking up those double teams.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a big thing right there. I mean, if you looked at Mel Kiper's big board, at number 12 on his big board.
The wind tunnel tested hair Mel Kiper.
Dude, I got to give credit where credit's due because obviously I'm lacking in that department. But... But the wind didn't sustain with my hair. Kevin's lucky right now.
Kevin's got wavy locks, bro.
Yeah, his hair is way better than Diaz's. But like that's what stuck out to me.
And thankfully, we have him on the show as a result
yes,
of that.
Yes, thank God.
There it is. Take off the hat, my man.
Oh, that's strong, man. That's strong.
You just made all the... Look at everybody over there. Everybody's jealous when you took your hat off.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that yet.
They're still asking me when I get my hair cut, because yesterday I got my head shaved. They're like, still a two? I'm like, let's just take it to a one.
Hey, what do you think about Noel over there?
Hey, well, listen, there's some people in denial, so I give you credit for coming to accept that this is what
absolutely.
It's
going to be. But, I mean, you come into the second round there, and you're slated at 37. You have five picks right there.
Right.
And I know we were watching it live together on Friday night, and me and Tank are like, man, the safety from TCU, the linebacker from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Like, and he's number 12 on Mel Kiper's big board. He fell all the way to 52 to the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. Dude, all you got to know is that they had the Butkus Award winner sitting there in the second round, and they passed on. Here's a serious question. Who is the last Pro Bowl linebacker the Eagles have had?
Jeremiah Trotter.
It was Trotter. That was 21 years ago.
Yep.
21 years ago.
Jeez.
So they just, you know, it's not, I get it. They like guys who can rush the quarterback. They overcompensate at other positions.
But they like people that can rush the quarterback that are undersized.
Yeah, it's just their thing, man. I don't know. I'm kind of numb to the whole thing because it's happened so. I think I'm less mad about it because I'm just so used to it, you know. But I don't want to be that. I want to still be mad about it.
You know what's interesting about that is Tank and I, we over-evaluate the D-line.
Yeah.
We have been nothing but excited to see Josh Sweat get more play time. Josh Sweat had better stats than Barnett with half the play time.
One of, three good stories last year.
Yeah. Exactly.
Singleton, Josh Sweat.
Yeah.
And Barnett and Sweat are both slated to become free agents after this season.
They're still restricted free agents.
I don't think Barnett is because Barnett was a fifth-year option.
And you know what the funny part about Barnett was? This is on March 13th to 15th, and your name. Wrote an article about what happened with Derek Barnett and his fifth-year option. The Eagles didn't say or deny. They just didn't even call Barnett on March 13th or 15th, which means his contract for fifth year exercised immediately.
Yeah, it does.
So they didn't even call him.
Now, here's the thing. Like, they have a bunch of draft picks they've made that we could label as busts right now, but does anybody at all believe that a new coaching staff comes in and takes some of these players that were not clicking with Doug Peterson and all of a sudden they become different players?
I do.
Is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside a different player? Is Sean Bradley a different player? I mean, are we calling them busts or are we saying like,
Jalen Reagor?
Jalen Reagor? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a legit question there.
This goes right back to Bo Wolf's Twitter.
Yeah.
All right. Again, when you have an O-line coach with a proven history of developing day three players, you simply can't pass up on the opportunity to stay at 37 and draft a guy with three separate season-ending injuries.
Player development is still a thing in every league. I mean, look, first round talent should be ready to be on the field right away.
Kev, thank you. Real fast, and I don't want to interrupt.
No, it's fine.
You lucked out with your Super Bowl. I'm going on that one.
Is that you think it was an outlier?
Without question. And you know what? We absolutely effing deserved it.
Yes. Yeah.
All right? We deserved the one. You got day one. All right? But the success the Philadelphia Eagles had in the past was drafting cornerbacks.
Yeah.
In the first and second rounds. And developing day three offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Harriman's.
Todd Harriman's.
Jason Kelsey.
Jason Kelsey.
There's somebody else I'm thinking of.
What's the kid's name? So I called him Superman. Not Doug Brzezinski.
Brzezinski was one of them.
Brzezinski was second round. What's the other kid's name? I can't think of it. It'll come to me.
Yeah. But, all right. Well, anyway, you know what? Let's do this. We get back. We're going to talk about the second elephant in the room.
Yeah. Oh, there's a second one today.
There is a second one today.
All right.
And it's going to disturb you. But everybody, real fast, Hollis, how does everybody follow you on social media?
Social media at on Instagram at KEWLMF and on Twitter at TheRealTank78. That's DARealTank78.
Kevin?
Yeah, it's Kevin_Kincaid. Last name spelled KINKEAD. The proper way to spell it.
Sack.
On Twitter, SackAttack112, and then on Instagram, SackAttack1112.
On Instagram and Twitter for the Green Legion, ask Diaz. This is Quimby, Green Legion Radio, coming back for our final segment on Fox Sports, The Gambler Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light, back right after this. First play for a little bit. All right, that's a little bit.
Yeah, we got 13 minutes. So
yeah, I know. Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler Philadelphia, brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. It is time, everybody, to talk about the second elephant in the room. I do not believe at this point that Howie is the problem with the draft.
Well, whatever do you mean?
Yeah, please do tell.
Well, we've all been discussing possibilities. What photos does Howie possess that keeps him in his position? And I honestly think I figured it out. I finally believe that I've looked at it from a different perspective, a different angle, and I got it figured out. Okay. So, let's first of all cue up some music that I've been wanting to play. Here we go. Some of you will not get this. A lot of you will. Got it. Sorry.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Sarah. I've never been with anything less than a nine. So fine, I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Mo. But somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life.
All right, anyway, we know what that
is. Is that Colt Severs?
That is Lee Majors as the Fall Guy.
His name was Colt.
Nice. Tree Murphy in the house.
What was his name?
Getting all that.
What was his name in the Fall Guy, though?
Who cares?
Heather Thomas.
Heather Thomas was on that show.
I know Colt Severs was his name, though.
What was his name? Who cares? I like the bluntness of it.
I'm not sure I can objectively look at this situation anymore and think that the elephant in the room is Jeffrey Lurie. I don't think I can place the blame on Howie anymore. I don't think he's calling the shots. I do not. Oh, this is a typical Howie draft. No, it's not. It is a typical Jeffrey Lurie draft.
It was some reaches.
Do tell.
From an article in The Atlantic, Bo Wolf, Zach Berman, and Kevin, please.
Shiel Kapadia.
Thank you. Shortly after Lurie bought the team from Norman Brayman in 1994, Sports Illustrated's Peter King wrote, "Hollywood producer Jeffrey Lurie is a member of that most rabid subspecies of NFL fanatic, the draftaholic. In recent years, he has prepared for the league's annual college draft by holding up in the media room above the garage of his Beverly Hills home and watching tapes of the Blue-Gray game, the Japan Bowl, the Senior Bowl. Lurie would have them all on his big screen surround sound TV." That passion remains strong, according to multiple sources. Lurie devours tape of college prospects and is an active participant in the pre-draft process. Those who have experienced that process acknowledge its murkiness. Often, there's no explanation given when the team strays from an established draft board. Sometimes, as with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's selection in 2019, Lurie puts his thumb on the scale when the team was prepared to make another selection, in that case, Ohio State's Paris Campbell. But the virtual nature of the 2020 draft made things even less clear to the majority of the football operations staff. For the most part, last year's decisions were discussed in a small virtual room consisting of Roseman, Lurie, Peterson, and Vice President of Player Personnel, Andy Weidel. As a result, each of the Eagles' first three selections, TCU receiver Jalen Reagor, Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts, and Colorado linebacker Davion Taylor, mystified some scouts and coaches watching alone at home, just like everybody else. Go.
You know what they all had in common? They played great in those blue-gray games and those all-star games.
Yep. I don't think you're going to see any fundamental approaches to the team changing while this owner is in place. We are all wondering why Howie is making these picks. I don't believe anymore that Howie is making these picks. Ooh. I'm sure he has some influence. I'm sure he's talking about it. But just like I said, watch the video. Watch the video of the Eagles' war room right before a selection is made and see if Lurie goes to his phone, sends a text message. Howie picks up the phone, looks at it, and goes, oh, well, here we go again. I think Howie cannot be satisfied with what we have done in the draft over the last years and years. Look at it. Look at it. He is looking for Tom Donahoe to give him a fist bump, and Tom Donahoe wants to do nothing except punch him in the face.
Wants nothing to do with it.
Which means, and if Lurie is fine with that, I believe it's Lurie's doing. Sack, you're ready to go. Do it. Kevin, right after that, Tank, take it home.
I look at it like this. You know, if you're going to put the blame on Jeffrey Lurie as far as the picks being made, maybe he allowed Howie to make that third-round selection, which led him to skip through that process in the war room like a little schoolgirl. Like, oh, my God, Jeffrey, let me make a pick. He let me make a pick. What's wrong, Tom? Did I make the wrong pick?
He looked like Sonic the Hedgehog.
It was unbelievable. It's like he's just prancing through, and everyone's just like, yeah, whatever. All right, cool. We're going home tonight. We're going home tonight, man. Not a problem. But it was like, you know, I understand what you're saying from that aspect, but to me, the real villain in the room is still Howie Roseman. And, you know, say what you will about Jeffrey, at least Howie can be replaced. You cannot replace an owner, and he's building up his kids to take over eventually whenever he does eventually pass.
Kevin, real fast.
Because you can't replace an owner, I can't get mad about it because I'm numb to it. I know nothing's going to change. So 5 years ago when they pulled Howie out of the broom closet, I was just like, whatever, this is what it is. It's always going to be.
Hold on a second. I don't believe that Jeffrey was part of that draft process while Andy Reid was around.
Yeah, he was.
I don't believe that
was.
I know anything I'm talking
Hollis
about.
Hollis is around.
Right. Yeah, he's the thing
but
is
that being said, he wasn't as integral, or was he?
Yes,
Talk about it.
It was.
Kevin, you'll get some more time here.
It was a complete another.
No,
it was a complete another crap show. We often wondered what the hell they were doing. Well, once Ray Rhodes,
but we drafted successfully under the
Under Ray Rhodes.
Shepard.
Yeah, that was
Sheldon Brown.
That was with a couple of guys that was still there from who were under Ray Rhodes. When Ray Rhodes left him with a cupboard full. There was Trey Thomas. You had Trey Thomas, and you had a defense. You had Trotter on the defense, and everybody on that defense. All you had to do was add some corners, and you still had some of the scouts that were under Ray Rhodes. Since you've gotten rid of all those guys, the Lewis Reddicks and stuff, all those guys, they haven't drafted anybody. Name me one
person.
Are you saying
that Jeffrey Lurie has been a meddling draft owner from day one?
Yeah, point blank. It's like when you look at it, he's like, so somebody's talking to the owner. It's like, oh, we know who drafted him. So it's like you can't do anything, and you can just hope to get the hell out of there at any point in time.
So if it is what it is, then should we waste energy being worried about it? Or have we just come to accept that this is the situation, this is what it's going to be, and we're just going to have to get on with it?
May I say something?
Yeah.
You and I are in the same field, and you and I have two different.
I'm much more pragmatic than the average Eagles fan. I think we can say that.
You
much, yeah.
will
yeah.
enjoy the absolute destruction of the internal football team.
Listen, my
day in world success.
Yeah.
Lives and breathes based on whether or not this team wins.
That's all right, and you're perfectly justified in feeling any way you want to feel. In my opinion, it's like, if I can't change something, I know something's not going to change, then I've come to accept that. It doesn't mean it's right.
I've
found like an inner peace with it because I know that that's what the situation is.
All right,
is,
first
you know?
Of all.
Who has ever worked for anybody else has ever had any kind of full
first
autonomy
of all,
ever?
Let
know?
Me say, there is no inner peace here, okay? All right. However.
That's fully stated on our show yesterday.
it's a disclaimer. It's written right at the top of the thing. Yeah.
Thank God I didn't go into week 15's I'd Pipe Sean McVay's Fiance watch, okay? However.
The Venn diagram of Quimby and pragmatism is like two completely separate circles.
Normally, Kevin, you were impressed by the Bible that is our run sheet. Normally, that's at the top of it.
Oh, yeah.
This is week
15.
I took it up.
Yeah,
it's
actually
week 16 now.
No, it's still week 15.
No, it's Sunday.
No,
it's a new week.
Tomorrow it'll be week 16.
It's just Sunday's new week.
The weeks.
Okay, I'm not going to.
The weeks change after Sunday.
Okay.
Day of the Sabbath. Come on, Lord.
Side chatter.
Anyway.
3 minutes left.
fact is, we are just starting to find out publicly how much of a meddling owner Jeffrey Lurie
is. But that's the real story.
Is.
To me, that's the real story because we always had this idea of Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is in the locker room talking to the media after every game. We didn't know
we
the
thought
the
Jerry Jones was the outlining Richard.
Because
right,
we don't know the extent of Jeffrey Lurie's involvement when Hollis
but now we know.
Bo Wolf or
but
Shields.
Now
or something.
We know.
Now you flesh it out a little bit more. Yeah.
Now as we flesh it out, you've said a couple of times. Why get worked up about something I have no control over? Well, if we keep talking enough about
you're going to get to a point where it's critical.
There's going
to
be influence,
and you're going to have enough to digest and whatever. You know, I'm just more of a
no,
of a,
not
of
digest. A, we no. want to have enough to have influence.
Okay, well there you go. Yeah, I'm all right with gathering more information. Then let's parse it and see what happens. We just haven't known the extent of his involvement.
I'm rather bitch and moan about what I know.
I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, I continue to lie to myself, Kevin. Like when it comes down to things, I go, oh man, yeah, I'm not going to get mad, and then. And like, you know, Jalen Reagor goes in front of Justin Jefferson last year, and then like I'm fuming, and then the next night I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh man, we're gonna get J.K. Dobbins, we're gonna have a two-headed monster, and then they draft Jalen Hurts. It's
that's
like
right. At least you go into it with like what you think is a clear head, you know,
yes.
and peace of mind.
But
and if
why
they
am
if
I
they
thinking
disappoint
that way?
You, they disappoint. Oh, you know, it's like you try to give you want to give people the benefit of the doubt, but it's that's not where we are. With
I'm
the
Joe Schmo. I'm doing shows with Hollis Thomas and Greg Murphy. You know, like I'm
right,
a random Larry. I'm just saying
this. This is where I get really upset. Every year coming into a draft, I think we've bitched enough
yep.
for the attitude to be.
I have come here to chew bubble gum and kick ass.
I'm all out of gum.
And I'm all out of bubble gum.
Let me say
and
this.
Every year, it's the same freaking thing.
Let me say this real quick. I personally am very excited for this Eagles season. Honest to God, I am. Because I don't know what any of this is. I don't know anything about Nick Sirianni. Yeah. I don't know anything about Jalen Hurts. It's all new to me.
Right.
So
those are the big key components.
Yeah,
for this
so season. I can't be disappointed if I don't have any expectations to begin with. Now you say, shouldn't you have expectations every year? Yes, of course. But like, there's a newness to it. It's a new chapter. We're turning the corner. I'm looking at it as the great unknown. I don't know what the hell any of this is, any of these guys are. And for me, that's exciting.
The only thing that I'm disappointed about is the second pick. That's it. It's like the rest of the draft. I don't
the
know.
The second
I don't know.
Pick ruined the whole draft.
And he was excited at first.
I was excited at first, but it's like once the excitement wore off, it's like, come on.
Anyway, you guys, Kevin Kincaid from Crossing Broad.
My pleasure.
Appreciate
thanks. Thanks for having me. No, it was great, man. That's great. Thank you, Roger. I made a mistake, too. By the way, Tulane is in the American, not Conference USA, so I want to correct that.
Oh, my God.
It's
editor's
all about
note.
Accuracy.
Editor's note.
Well, thankfully, we have a clip for that.
Because the good news is you're fired.
And thank you, Chris Sack, for staying a couple hours after Bud Light Baseball Brunch. Tank Thomas, my man, best friend, / producer, Sam, doing nothing, sitting on her butt over there next to the tree. You guys, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler, Philadelphia, brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. We appreciate you tuning in. We also thank Philly Live Casino for allowing us to host our shows here. May 23rd, first one over at Xfinity Live on the patio of 1100 Social. Jansen, take it away, baby.